Hey there, everybody. It is September the 8th, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. You're listening to us on WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. You're also listening to our show alongside all the other fine podcasts found on clickexposed.com. And as always, we are broadcasting with pride worldwide on QNation.fm. I'm Ken. Welcoming back to the show, Jody. Hi.
Hi.
I'll explain later.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, awesome. Jody.
Yeah.
You know what happens on your fourth time hosting the show?
Do we stop counting?
We do.
Yay!
Stop counting. Oh, gosh. If folks only knew what happened behind the scenes, you would know why that's funny. All right. Let's jump into some news.
Okay.
Jump into some more news.
Yeah.
So this is really, I'm so curious to get your take on this. Jarrett Barrios, who was on the show, I don't know, like a month ago, he's the president of GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
Yep.
He wrote an op-ed for, I saw it on boston.com. I don't really know what that is, but it was, the title of the op-ed was called Equal Right to Marry and Divorce. And I'm going to read a little bit from this.
Okay.
By the powers granted to me by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I now pronounce you married. Those words ring in my memory in harmony with the joyous bells of the church. It was a perfect wedding. It had to be. I was one of the first elected officials in the country to marry his same-sex partner, in part because there were so many naysayers. We worked to be a model couple, with each of us trying to be the perfect husband. Like other lesbian and gay couples, we hope to show our relationships for what they are, loving partnerships that deserve the possibility of happily ever after, that marriage promises. Nearly a year ago, I separated from my partner. At the time, we had been together for 16 years and married for over 5. I felt I couldn't discuss it beyond my close circle of friends, especially if you're gay and arguing that marriage should be open to you. Divorce seems to be the ultimate failure. Today, in 5 states, gay and lesbian couples can marry. That means we have the ability to grow together and for some of us to grow apart. And so it jumps, I jumped around a little bit. But the question is it more difficult right now? Do you feel more pressure as a newly married gay couple? Do you feel more pressure on your marriage given the attention on gay marriage in the country?
I personally do not.
Okay.
Because it's not something I really think about. My wife and I, we've been together for 10 years.
10 years.
Married, and then prior to that, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And that piece isn't something I think about. I do think about it in a more global sense when I read about stuff like that. I mean, Brattleboro being known as the place where the first civil union ever happened.
Right.
And then also that couple also separated.
Right.
So that,
it's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure. It's definitely a lot of pressure.
What straight couple's marriage represents more than that couple? The Obamas.
The Obamas.
Politicians.
Princess Di and Prince Charles.
Yes.
You know, big, big,
oh God,
marriages.
We're like royalty.
Hey.
I love this.
Hey.
This is a great story. No, I wasn't feeling the pressure until I read this. And then I thought, oh, should probably make things work in marriage. Because if it goes bad, then there won't be any gay marriage anywhere.
I think we feel that way because it is still so new and we want to prove ourselves as a community. Right. Like, I don't feel that personally because I feel very comfortable with my relationship with my wife. And I feel like we talk and communicate really well. And so that's not
seems
something.
Seems like a nice lady.
I'm just
going to say that every time you co-host. I'm going to somehow fit in. You know, she seems like a nice lady.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact,
a good baker.
She is. She is a very good baker.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. It's just I was so happy that he penned this.
And how difficult
that must have been for him.
Absolutely.
I have to keep this quiet because I'm a national leader in getting gay marriage passed.
Yeah.
If they see that I get divorced, then we're saying, well, gay couples, they should be marrying animals.
Ah,
I know,
no.
Isn't that crazy how quickly some of those minds go there?
Well, you know, they go there even without the divorce thing. They'll go there just to, the drop of a hat. But I think for public figures in general, there is definitely much more attention paid to their marriages, whether they're gay, straight, bi, whatever. But I do think particularly public gay marriages, the ones that are a big deal, whether it's the first in a state or the first in a wherever, or it's a movie star or whatever, I think those in particular are going to be much more scrutinized because people they build them up so much because it's the first or they're famous and let's look at that as the model, you know, for my life or for what it's supposed to be elsewhere,
right,
rather than necessarily, I mean, maybe some people, people who are not famous are feeling that kind of pressure. And I would feel that that is an unnecessary stress to think about when there's so many other day-to-day stuff to be thinking about in your community and your daily lives.
But I think like a politician, if their marriage doesn't work out, then it's a reflection on the politician. For a gay person's marriage not to work out, for that to be a reflection on marriage of gay people, it's so crazy.
It's a huge leap.
It's crazy.
It's a huge leap.
All right, so I'm going to cover a story that you may have heard about before, because we talked about it before we went on the air a little bit ago.
Oh, okay.
So this is the part of the show where you pretend like you're hearing it for the first time and repeating opinions that you had earlier, but making them sound like, hey, nobody's ever heard these before, including me, who said them maybe 10 minutes ago. So one of the big stories that was out there this week, I'm telling you, if you were in the studio, folks, you would know why that's funny. So just laugh along. Pretend. One of the big stories this week, there were a couple of stories about people out in the news who said these anti-gay things. And so the big one that hit the news waves today was sports commentator and NFL Hall of Famer Dan Hampton, who is expected to kick off this weekend's episode of Pro Football Weekly, one of your favorite shows?
No.
Okay. With an apology for the anti-gay comments he made last week about the Dallas Cowboys. This is what he said on air on the show, quote, "The Cowboys think they are Clint Eastwood. They're more of the broke back variety." And then my favorite part of that quote, "If you know what I'm talking about, we gotcha. We gotcha, yeah, Dan Hampton. We know what you're talking about." And then the other one was this Montana Tea Party guy who said something about that basically they were talking about gay rights, and he made an allusion to Wyoming and basically said, "We need the Wyoming plan for the gays," which was a reference to Matthew Shepard, and that's really messed up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the question is to you.
Yes.
I don't know if you've thought about this. he's going to be asked to apologize, Dan Hampton.
Yeah.
What kind of apology would satisfy you, just off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head.
What kind of apology?
Actually, now that I've had a little bit of time to reflect on this particular question, it's great. No, it's great.
For people that are listening in their cars, this is not Groundhog's Day. Go ahead. What? Tell me. What kind of apology works for you?
I think I would want to hear about their experience apologizing to LGBT youth. Or youth in general for what they said and explaining why it was wrong for them to say that because it is not okay for that kind of hate to be put out there and perpetuated. Hate in general is wrong.
Right.
So I would want them to have had the experience of going into some classroom anywhere, wherever, particularly middle school,
yes.
I think.
Where everything is so gay.
Everything is so everything, but yes. And they said, I went and I talked with the seventh grade class today about why what I said was so terribly wrong.
Right.
And the looks on their faces and the questions they asked me, the very hard questions, made me fully realize that what I said should not be said on the air because it sets up a hate-filled society when we have it in our media all the time. Even
it also sets up that apologies are just not worth crap. That it's so easy to use. Because Dan Hampton, we'll cover this next week. I am going to read his apology word for word. I'm not even going to remember the story next week. But for now, I'm saying I'm going to read his apology word for word. And he's going to say something like, I can't believe I said that. I realize now that this was wrong. And of course, he realizes that because his agent said, you're an idiot and now you're getting bad press.
Right.
Not because I disagree with what you said. I don't know his agent. But because now we're getting all this bad press, and now no one's going to
because it makes you look bad.
Exactly. And now no one's going to tune into, and I just had to look at my screen, Pro Football Weekly. I don't even know what station that's on.
I'm sure some people really love it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really, it is one of my favorite shows that I've never heard of and have no intention of watching. It's in my top five. Never watched it, never intend to.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's just going to be this meaningless apology. And as I said in my head earlier, the only apology that's going to work for me is if he gets on there, which is not going to happen, and say he shouldn't be apologizing this weekend. He should be on a mandatory leave, and he's got to come back even next week.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I just volunteered all week with the Hedrick Martin Institute in New York City at the Harvey Milk High School, and this is what I learned. Or, I just did this whole sensitivity class, and this is what I learned. I do not think he should be apologizing this weekend, because what epiphany did he have other than probably getting yelled at and being in the Advocate?
Right. .com. Yeah, yeah. No, it's not. It's not going to mean anything. And he didn't. If anything, he just learned that. Oh, my agent gets mad at me when I say stuff about other people that I shouldn't.
So we will cover that apology next week. But for now, this is one of Jody and I's favorite songs. Enjoy. Was that Jody?
That was the Wailin' Jennies.
Who are they?
They are this awesome, awesome folk band from Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gay friendly?
Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sad news.
What?
I know. This is going to be sad.
Oh, no.
Are you sitting?
Yeah.
You know who died?
Tell me.
Now I feel so bad that I'm laughing. It's not because he died. It's really just we're having that kind of night on this show is so gay. It's not necessarily so gay. It's just so messed up. It's also very gay. So Glenn Shaddix died. Hey, do you know who that is?
I do, actually.
So full of it. Who is he, Jody?
Well, why don't you just tell me?
He was in Beetlejuice. He played the portly, pretentious designer, yes. Otho, in yes. Beetlejuice. Yeah. And he died at his house in Birmingham, which really is sad.
It's very sad. It's
this
very
is going to be the show that gets all the angry emails. Why were you laughing when that guy died? What are you referencing inside jokes that we don't know anything about? I'm going to send you an email at thisshowisogay@AOL.com. Good. Anyway, his official biography said that Shaddix was born in Bessemer, which is a suburb of Birmingham, and he participated in local theater productions as a youth. His website also describes him as a photographer and a gay rights activist, and he spoke publicly about undergoing so-called ex-gay therapy as a teenager. It's crazy.
Very.
So rest in peace, Glenn. I love Beetlejuice.
I think it's a great movie.
And he was in Heathers, too.
Yeah.
I love Heathers.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's Heathers the Musical is out right now.
Seriously?
I need to move on to some new stories that okay. you haven't heard about. We covered this actually a few months ago and want to say that it happened. It happened.
Okay.
Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer and Elise Buxbaum were married. Why are we covering this, Jody?
I don't know.
You weren't co-hosting that night.
No, okay. I wasn't co-hosting that night.
They were married in a civil ceremony last week at City Hall in New Haven. Now, where is New Haven?
New Haven, Connecticut.
And where is he the borough president of? Manhattan. The whole deal was that it was a meaningful day. They said they issued a statement Wednesday saying it was an incredibly meaningful day for them, which is great. But yeah. They did this because... it's a show of solidarity with their gay and lesbian friends who can't get married in New York.
Mm.
New York State Senate last year voted down a bill that would have allowed same-sex marriage. Connecticut has had marriage equality since 2008.
Yeah.
So a big shout out to Scott Stringer, Manhattan Borough President, and Elise Buxbaum, who is a museum administrator who tied the knot in New Haven. I should reach out to them and try to get them on the show.
Yeah.
So, it's that kind of... And what's in retrograde, were you saying?
Mercury.
No freaking kidding me right
Until the 12th. Until the 12th.
Yeah, we're screwed. anyway, a new public education campaign is out there. Have you seen those Legalize Gay shirts?
Oh, I think I have, actually. Yeah.
There's a new one that says Legalize Trans. Which has launched with the goal of drawing increased attention to transgender people and their issues. The campaign, created by activists Asher Coleyboy and Brian Murphy, is selling t-shirts, buttons, and other merchandise bearing the message, Legalize Trans. A response to what they see as a lack of trans inclusion in American Apparel's League. Oh, I didn't know that was American Apparel, the Legalized Gay. Now I know that. And in the gay rights movement generally. In addition to raising visibility, merchandise sales are intended to generate funds for trans people's gender transition costs. He is funding his own transition, Coleyboy. Asher Coleyboy is funding his own transition in this manner, and other trans-focused organizations and individuals can become legalized trans affiliates and sell the goods to raise money for medical expenses and trans activism. And for more information on that, you can go to www.legalizetrans.com. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Not paying enough attention to trans issues, are we?
No, we're not.
I'm not just talking about this show.
No. I know. It's a bigger we.
It's a bigger we. Okay, how about we play a little bit more music?
Okay.
I'm kind of in the mood for some more music.
Sure.
Let's do some Indigo Girls.
Sweet.
Kind of an Indigo Girls mood. Enjoy.
We get together periodically and can't shake off of me. The fever wandering round, wondering how it ought to be. You work in the system. You see possibilities in your glistening eyes. Sure the hell you're gonna give them. Then they back off the mic for once and give it to a woman. I dream like a mad one. Brutal fantasies, a catch as catch can. I'm a psychic and a lay woman. I see love and I like to make it happen. What we get from your war walk, the ticker of the nation breaking down like a bad clock. I want the pendulum to swing again, so that all your mighty men ain't worse just spitting in the wind. It doesn't come by the persuaded. It's not persuaded with your hands on your hips. It's not the company of gunslingers. The epicenter love is the pendulum swinger. See it, see it. It's fine about the old scroll Sanskrit. Gnostic gospels of Da Vinci code to smash it. Aren't we dying just to read it and relate it? Hard just to go by a blind faith. But they left out the sisters. I've been praying to a father god so long I really missed her. The goddess of benevolence. And you should listen to your mama if you have a lick of sense left. It doesn't come by the bullets. It's not persuaded with your hands on your hips. And it's not the company of gunslingers. The epicenter of love is a bucket with just enough science to keep from saying fuck it until the last drop of sun burns a sweet light. Plenty revolutions left until we get this thing right. Doesn't come by the bullets. It's not persuaded with your hands on your hips. And it's not the company of gunslingers. The epicenter love.
Indigo Girls singing Pendulum Swinger. Amy Ray was sitting. Oh my God, I was just going to say Amy Ray was sitting right where you were sitting. The revisionist history that just happened. What if I actually believe that?
Wow, that would be pretty amazing. The interview was so good.
Into this show. Yeah,
yeah. The interview was so good. It was as if she was sitting right here. Like, you did.
I looked like, oh, I actually believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Amy Ray called into this show not that long ago.
That's right.
This is going to go down as one of. It's going to go down. I'm sorry. Something about trans. Something you were saying.
Oh,
during
I
the
was,
music.
I was just commenting. In my. Work, I was on a webinar recently, mm-hmm. and I'm in the field of substance abuse prevention. And what I thought was going to be kind of a boring, no offense to the people who put it on, but just sort of a boring, rudimentary kind of webinar about forms and outcome measures and all that. Very, very exciting terminology. On these forms, these are surveys that you're supposed to be giving to the people that participate in your programming, and you're looking for statistical information. And of course, as in everything, there's a gender line for the participants to check off on. And unfortunately, it just had male and female just in the boxes.
But what if people don't identify as one of those two?
Exactly. And that was, as soon as there was space in the conversation for the webinar, I was going to bring that up. Except one of my colleagues from some other part of the state of New Hampshire brought it up before I had a chance to.
Well, but that's good.
And I was really proud of them because I was starting to get a little antsy. And they brought it up, and it was brought up as a cultural competency question, saying that it is that many of the youth that we serve in whatever prevention programming do not choose to identify or identify differently other than male or female, how do we want to fix that? We have to fix that. This form can't go out there like that. So we actually had a bit of a conversation about it between all these other prevention professionals throughout New Hampshire who were on this webinar saying, well, we do this. Well, we like prefer that. Well, mm-hmm. we've heard about this. And we didn't resolve it right then and there. I think the folks hosting the webinar were going to do their homework first, and then they were going to put something out and ask for our feedback. But I just so appreciate that, A, somebody brought it up, and that it didn't just have that it wasn't just me, that other people out there were thinking about it.
This is good. This is progress.
It is progress. And that we had a conversation about it, and it wasn't an awkward conversation. It was a very professional conversation, like, oh, right, yeah, we really need to pay attention to that, just like we pay attention to any of the other cultural competency things that we talk about. So,
but what if I really do believe that Amy Ray was in the studio?
Then I potentially am sitting in the chair that Amy Ray sat in, and that's really cool.
Did you see how I didn't even bat? Amy Ray was she wasn't.
No, she wasn't.
She called into the show. It was great. No. I love talking. There is a great op-ed over on advocate.com by Tyler Helms, and he's writing about, and this is the tagline, I guess, for the article. Being diagnosed with HIV no doubt diverted his focus, but this week has advocate columnist Tyler Helms living the questions of a friend, a stranger, and a mentor, and wondering what you do when tomorrow is now a question. So I was just reading through that, so folks should check that out. I'm very conflicted about fundraising. I'm not conflicted about fundraising for the AIDS ride, but I don't know what I should do because I don't want to. Last year I put on Notes for Life and I can't handle that.
No, that was a lot. Again. It was a lot.
Yeah. And it ended up not.
It didn't really raise
money.
A lot. Yeah.
Broke even, which I'm told for a first time out is great.
It's not bad.
So I raised $8,000.
Right.
But it cost $8,000. Yeah. It actually cost $8,500. But so I'm not doing that again because that was a bit too much.
Right.
But do you get hit up for money constantly?
I just got hit up this afternoon for
MS.
I think it's Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Make-A-Wish Foundation.
They're great. They're great causes. I was approached by another one. It was for Native American elders who don't have any food.
I love Native American elders, and I want them to have food.
I want them to have food too. And then. I get hit up all the time, and they're all worthwhile. And unfortunately, there's only a few organizations that I can actually afford to give to. And I regularly give to them. I always mark it off in my budget that these organizations are going to be the ones that we give to.
I don't want to ask people again, but I might do my same thing where I ask people only for $10 and they can't get more than $10.
Well, that's
are you committing on air to giving $10?
After I talk with my wife about that.
Amy Ray sat in that chair. The least you could do is give
figuratively
to my delusional,
in spirit sat in this chair.
Fundraising campaign. Over in, oh my God, and I almost just said my home state of New York, which is not, this is going to be subtitled the show where Ken lost his freaking mind. New York is not my home state. It's New Jersey. But over in my home state of New York, students in New York State who are bullied in schools will have a little more protection after Governor David Patterson signed, finally, for the love of God, finally, in my home state of New York, he signed the Dignity for All Students Act into law today.
Oh, that's great.
He said in a statement, quote, "Every student has the right to a safe and civil educational environment, but far too often young people are ruthlessly targeted by bullies. Bullying and harassment have disrupted the education of too many young people, and we in government have a responsibility to do our part to create learning environments that help our children prosper," end quote. The law would require school districts to designate at least one staff member per school to be trained in non-discriminatory instructional and counseling methods, to properly train school employees to certain sensitivities among students, and to make sure each school's code of conduct ensures a harassment and discrimination-free environment. The law bans harassment and discrimination under several different classifications, including but not limited to Jody and Amy Ray, the student's actual or perceived race, color, weight, national origin, ethnic group, religion, religious practice, disability, sexual orientation, gender, or sex. The Dignity for All Students Act will fully take effect starting July 1st, 2012, but some rules and regulations may be instituted earlier. And the cool thing about DASA, Dignity for All Students Act, I wrote about DASA when I was a student at Fordham and in my PhD program, and it went through, and I'm going to get this wrong, it kept either being passed by the House but not being passed by the Senate, or the other way around, I can't remember, but it went on for maybe 7 or 8 years, and they finally Jeez. Just passed it. So what I want to see is that, what was his name, my buddy, my new friend, NFL Hall of Famer Dan Hampton from the my favorite show that I've never watched or heard of, Pro Football Weekly, I would like him to say, I just spent a week with Governor Patterson working on the Dignity for All Students Act, and therefore I apologize, and I'm sorry that no one watches my show. That's what I would like to say. So that's really good news. It is indeed my passion. So good.
Definitely,
stuff.
Definitely.
All right. How about more music?
Okay.
A little bit more of the music.
Sounds good.
What should we do? How about, are you feeling lovely? Then here are some chains to bind your love.
Very good.
I'm not even going to let you respond to that.
How can I explain? I can choose. How can I explain when words get
such a burst of news stories all of a sudden. Seymour Pine, who was the New York City deputy police inspector who led the raid on the Stonewall Inn in 1969 died last week at the age of 91. According to an obituary in the New York Times, Pine died last Thursday at an assisted living center in my home state of New Jersey, mm-hmm. where I'm actually from.
Where you're actually from.
He was a Manhattan native, and he apologized for his role in the raid when asked about it at a discussion in 2004. So Andrew and I saw this movie. Did we tell you that we went to this thing? We went to Stonewall Uprising at John Scagliotti. Do you know John?
Yeah, I do.
He's very cool. I like John.
Yeah, he's
shout out to
stuff.
John Scagliotti. We're going to have him on the show. Maybe he'll come and co-host a show with me.
I think he would, actually.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. Have you ever seen a movie at his property?
Not on his property, no.
Everyone should go to John's property when invited.
Right.
You don't go right now.
No.
You wait to be invited.
Exactly.
But he's got this barn where they show movies, and they showed Stonewall Uprising. So John made two movies, pre-Stonewall and post-Stonewall, which those were the titles.
Yeah, before Stonewall and after Stonewall were the proper titles, yes.
Worst show ever. Putting that out there. It's not that it's the worst. It's just I've lost my mind at this point. So I'm not even trying. Normally when things go awry, I try to salvage them. I gave up on that right around Amy Ray.
Just go with it.
So he made pre and post Stonewall, or whatever it was Jody called him, before and after Stonewall.
Before and after.
Meta and micro Stonewall. And there's this new movie called Stonewall Uprising, and it's in theaters now, and I think it's going to be on a network that I'm just going to get the network wrong, and I don't know why that would stop me tonight, but and it was great. Everybody leapt to their feet, and this Seymour Pine was actually in the movie.
Oh wow!
And they talked to him. It was fascinating, and I remember they in the Q&A and the talk back afterwards, people, because it was kind of hard to reconcile. So here's this guy who led the raid on Stonewall, and what do you do with that? On the one hand, great, because it sparked the revolution. On the other hand, it was pretty messed up what happened.
Well, yeah.
But they had finished talking to him, and then he started saying things after they had packed up, and they asked him, could he please go back on camera? And he went back on camera, and they said he wasn't lucid the whole time, but for this, he was lucid, and he said he regretted his role in all that. So Seymour Pine, unwittingly part of the revolution. One of the things I do before each week's show, I check out all the different news stories on all the different gay sites, but then I just to make sure I haven't missed anything, I Google gay. And then I click on news. And this was the biggest gay story of the week. The Google Gay story is going to be a new segment that will only happen this week called The Google Gay. The Google Gay story for this week was about Xbox.
Okay.
Xbox. Microsoft Corporation suspended a gamer. Do you know gamers?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. From Fort Gay, West Virginia, because the name of his town violated Xbox Live's code of conduct, which considers the term gay offensive. According to the AP, Microsoft and Xbox Live refused to acknowledge that the town's name is real. That's just funny.
Wow.
I'm reading that again. According to the Associated Press, Microsoft and Xbox Live refused to acknowledge that the town's name is real. That's something you can do. Even when contacted by the mayor. Oh my God, this story gets better.
Wow.
I was prepared not even to talk about this, and then now I'm reading it. Even when contacted by the mayor of Fort Gay. So what Jody and I are going to do a little forum theater for you right now.
Okay.
Jody's going to be Xbox Live, and I'm going to be the mayor of Fort Gay. And then in forum theater, you all can call in to 802-246-6107 and participate and maybe replace one of the actors, a la Augusto Boal. Lost my mind at this point.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah. So, excuse me, Microsoft and Xbox Live.
Uh-huh.
Yes, one of my town's residents was suspended.
Uh-huh.
Because he lives in Fort Gay.
Well, that doesn't exist. That's fake.
I'm the mayor of Fort Gay.
I don't think I believe you, actually.
Okay. End scene. Anyway.
That's definitely messed up. I mean, really, did they think that the mayor was posing as the mayor?
Like, I have no idea.
Like, somebody is calling, like, oh, I know. I'm going to call and act like I'm the mayor. I mean,
let Prince Albert out of the can. Isn't that the...
What?
My mom got that one. Dozens of students turned out on Friday to protest the resignation of Christine Judd, the lesbian dean and athletic director of Cathedral High School in Massachusetts. Oh, I don't know where in Massachusetts.
Oh, it just says Mass?
Yeah, that's my home state of Massachusetts. She said she was forced to step down after she married her partner.
Ooh, isn't that illegal?
The Springfield Diocese, so let's assume this is near Springfield, maintains that Judd, as an administrator, broke her agreement to uphold the doctrine and teachings of the Catholic Church. According to WWLP, Judd has not announced whether she will take legal action.
Yeah.
Should she take legal action?
I think if she's up for it, she should.
These are some of the comments. This is Jessica from New Jersey wrote, "Regular Catholics don't uphold the doctrine and teachings of the Catholic Church. They should throw those people out too. Oh, wait, then there would be no Catholic Church, would there?" Well done, Jessica from New Jersey. Dana from Leominster, that's in Massachusetts.
Yes, otherwise known as Leominster.
That's not really what it's called.
No, it really is.
Just, I would like to point out, I've gotten nothing right on this show yet tonight. So, Dana in Leominster said, "Congratulations to the students for seeing wrong and trying to make it right." That's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And John from Vermont said, "Please get the name of my movies right." Oh, I see now that that's problematic. Over in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell world, which is a whole world unto itself.
Yes.
By the way, what's going through your mind right now?
That I have no idea where you're going to say next, so I'm just rolling with it.
When you get home tonight and you see your wife, who is lovely, by the way. I don't know if that made it into when we redid the broadcast earlier in the show. I think she's lovely.
She is lovely.
Seems like a very nice lady.
She is.
What will you say?
I'll say, wow.
So that happened. Well, the other thing you should tell her is that fearful that delaying action on Don't Ask, Don't Tell until after midterms could kill the measure for the year, repeal advocates are pushing Harry Reid to schedule. Harry Reid, who sat in that very chair, a Senate floor. It's forcing him to schedule a Senate floor vote on the defense funding bill in September. "I'm a little anxious," said Aubrey Sarvis, executive director of the Service Members Legal Defense Network. "The reality is the number of legislative days in this Congress are rapidly dwindling." Oh, I guess they are.
Mm.
We're getting to the end.
Yeah.
And we need to see that the defense authorization bill up on the Senate floor. We need to see that up there in September. So it sounds like more to come on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And then there were some great stories, none of which I cut and paste. So I'll just do them from memory because everything else, you know, I've gotten right when I've read it. So from memory, it should be no problem. So this is a story that came out of Leominster. No, this was about California that I guess Schwarzenegger and the California Justice Department. So here's the thing. They are obligated. I don't really know what the right word is to use it. Not by law, but the expectation is that, so the judge said Proposition 8, no.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was something that was voted on by the people, the anti-gay groups, the conservative Christian groups are pushing Governor Schwarzenegger and his Justice Department to defend Prop 8. Which is very interesting because from their legal point of view, Governor Schwarzenegger is obligated to defend Prop 8. And he has said, well, no, this judge has made this decision. That's an interesting predicament.
It is. He's also publicly applauded the decision, too. He said, this is a good thing.
Yeah. I should try to get the mayor of Fort Gay on the phone right now. Kind of where we're at. Anyway, so, yeah, that's covering Governor Schwarzenegger. Hey, you saw kind of a gay event last week, didn't you?
I did.
Up at the Marlboro College? How
up
was that?
Up at the Marlboro College. The gay event. You mean your event?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good event.
Someone was frustrated. So I did an event last week about my experiences in Uganda, and someone was frustrated because it wasn't gay enough. And I think they missed the point because the whole point was that I couldn't be gay in Uganda because I'd be dead. And then this horrible show tonight would not have happened. It's interesting, some of the things that they come. You're doing well. Please know that when I say this is not going well tonight, it's not you.
Okay.
It's not you, Jody. It's me.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
I love you. I'm just not in love with you.
That's probably a good thing for both of our spouses.
There was a story about Nicolette Sheridan. Do you even know who that is?
No.
Yeah, she was on Desperate Housewives, and she's suing the Desperate Housewives creator, Mark Cherry, because he apparently wrongfully terminated her. This is what's passing for gay news these days. It's not really that exciting.
Wrongfully terminated her because she's a lesbian, or
no, she's totally not gay. He's gay, and that's why it's a story. I love sometimes how things make it on there. Becca and I talked about this a while ago. There were all these Lindsay Lohan stories on Advocate.com. I could not for the life of me figure out why are these on there. And that's because she dated that DJ for a few minutes. So that makes it a gay story.
Wow. It makes it gay adjacent.
It makes it gay adjacent. Exactly. So folks should know that there are a million and one ways. And by that, I mean, I think like three or four ways to get in touch with us here at This Show Is So Gay. Send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. And actually, the 100th show is quickly approaching. It's at the end of October. And so if you have ideas for guests that you would like on the 100th show, write into thisshowissogay@aol.com. Anybody you want?
Well, I still think you should have Girly Man on the
show.
I'm
trying.
I know.
I'm trying. So that's one thing you can do is send us an email. The other thing you can do and should do is stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com. You can click on podcast to listen to our past shows like this one. You can click on upcoming to read about guests coming up on the show and thus upcoming. For example, next week, one of the most hilarious comics around, Sandra Valls, is going to be on the show. And we're going to find out next week if you say her name, Sandra Valls, if that's how it's pronounced. After that, on September 22nd, Kate Pizzakis. You saw Kate Pizzakis sing.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to call into the show.
Cool.
More and more guests. But over on October 6th, Jody will be back for October 6th.
I will.
NPR arts reporter Netta Ullaby, who has not been on the show since December of 08, when I had no idea what I was doing, in contrast to right now. So that's what's happening over on thisshowissogay.com. Or, I should say, and you can click on the Facer book, which is always a fun place to click. And you can be one of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who likes, because, you know, like is a verb on Facebook.
Yes.
I like you.
Yes.
I don't have the option of liking you on Facebook. I can friend you or poke you, but I can't like you, Jody.
No, you can't, because I don't have one of those, like, public pages or something.
But This Show Is So Gay does. So you should stroll on over to the Facer book and type in This Show Is So Gay, and right there you can like us. So that's what's going on in the world. So let's review what we've learned.
Okay.
Amy Ray was here.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I renamed John Scagliotti's movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is this is the power of community radio. This is where I really encourage people to get their own show and use the local airwaves, because you can just make crap up. And can people in their cars right now, sure, they could turn me off, but do they want to? But they can't really get on the airwaves and say, hey, Ken, that's wrong. No, they can't, Jody.
No, I mean, I suppose I could call. But
are you going to come back and co-host with me ever again?
Yes, I am.
That would be really nice if you did that.
I will.
It would
I promise.
Make me very happy.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. I've freaked enough havoc for this evening. Can't wait to edit this tomorrow. Go out there, folks. Go volunteer somewhere. Go raise a couple dollars for an organization. Educate yourself. Please, please, for the love of all things holy, educate yourself. And in particular, let's say that this week's theme, this week's mission for you is to educate yourself on trans issues. So go
Sounds
on over
good.
To legalizedtrans.org. Is it .org or .com? I'm going to look right now. It's .com, legalizedtrans.com. And learn more about all the cool things they're doing there. So get out there, folks. Go do some incredible, incredible things. It doesn't matter if sometimes you make no sense. You're still being gay. So get out there. Remember, why be gay when you can be so gay? So gay.
So gay. Thank you.
There is no reason for you to hide. It's so hard staying here all alone. You could be taking me for a ride. She could try. Yeah.
us to hide. It's so hard to stay here all alone. You should be taking me for a ride.
Thanks, y'all.